I never thought that I would write a book. I never expected to be a widow at 30 either. But in 2019, my husband, the love of my life, died without any warning. What has kept me from drowning has been the people who love me the most, who have kept showing up even when they are uncomfortable. But I quickly realized that my experience was far from the norm. People who are suffering from loss often feel forgotten, abandoned, and misunderstood because we don't know how to support them. That's why I wrote this book. Grief Ally is for the person who wants to help but doesn't know how. If grief is like drowning in the ocean, this book is for the person holding the life preserver. It's a set of steps to help you keep your grieving friend's head above the water. What do I do? How do I help? How do I not make this worse? Grief Ally answers these questions and more. Showing up for the people we love who are in pain is hard, but it's one of the most important things that we can ever do. So with that, are you ready to be a grief ally?
Okay, everyone, welcome back to Dad Space. You know, this is the podcast for dads by dads, and we're welcoming everyone to the show today. We have a guest on the podcast. I had her on my Living the Next Chapter podcast back on episode 260, which finally released, thankfully. And we had an amazing conversation over there on Living the Next Chapter, talked about her book and her mission in life to help people through grief. Ally's story is amazing, and I'm so thrilled to have her back in front of me again to talk. In addition to what we talked about there, please go and listen to that episode. You'll love it. But we're talking to the Dad Space community, and Ally's here to share her story. And Ally, so great to have you here. I'm excited to reconnect and have you back. Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to be here, Dave. This is, yeah, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
Awesome. I will send you the check in the mail. Thank you. And while we're recording, just for a time stamp for the world, it's like Halloween, October 31st. And Ally is distracted by snow that is gently falling outside her window here in Canada. And the big smile on her face makes me happy. So we're going to try to do this in a very concise manner today so that she can get outside and play in the snow. So, you know, which is falling gently from the heavens. So, Ally, welcome. Can you tell everybody a little bit about you? You have a book out in the world. You work with people around grief. And I'm really interested and excited about where our conversation's headed today. But let's introduce you to the audience that haven't heard episode 260. Yet of Living the Next Chapter.
Yeah. So again, my name is Ally Bird. I am a coach, speaker, therapist, and the author of Grief Ally, Helping the People You Love Cope with Death, Loss, and Grief. And my mission in the world right now is to change the way grief is viewed and supported and understood in our culture. I lost the love of my life. My husband died at the end of 2019, and I was thrust into a world of grief without any understanding of what it was like to live with life-changing loss. And from that experience, I recognized that there was kind of a gap in the resources, in the understanding out there about what it is like to show up for someone through the long haul of grief. Like, if this person is your best friend, if they are your partner, your parent, your child, like, how do we help them cope and grow around the legacy of this person who died in their life, who was very important? So I wrote Grief Ally, and it really offers a guide to folks who are looking for the answers of what do I do and how do I help when someone they love is grieving. And then in my work as a therapist, I also work specifically with bereaved people themselves, helping them understand what is happening in their brains and their bodies and in the environment around them as they cope with the absence of someone who was supposed to be there. Hmm. So that's a bit about me.
Let's talk a little bit about Will as well. And we covered this on Living the Next Chapter, but can you tell our listeners that are listening to the show today a little bit about Will? I'd like to bring him into the conversation as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always happy to have Will in the conversation. So Will was this fierce, out outside exterior and just like the biggest heart on the inside. We really connected over like our love for like the outdoors and outdoor recreation stuff. So we were this like wildly adventurous couple. Like we were the couple who would have won the Amazing Race.
Yes.
Like not just competed, like we would have won. I'm not like full confidence in that. Mm-hmm. Like they wouldn't let us on the show because we would have won. Yeah, that's kind of like how we approached life together, just like tackling obstacles and just being each other's best friend, honestly. Like, yeah. And he was sweet, but he rode motorcycles and, you know, the F word was his favorite word. And he was a great chef. He was a really, really beautiful, beautiful person.
No, I've had some great guests on this podcast and others where they're dealing with grief in different ways. And everybody seems to have their approach that seems to work with for them. I've had parents on that have lost children. But the one thing I've noticed that grief goes beyond not just losing somebody physically, like somebody in your life, but can be in also other areas of life, not related to losing a person, but losing a job, losing a relationship, losing something that means something very, very special to you. So I think in our conversation today, if we can expand that grief beyond what we naturally associate it with, that it's a bigger thing than just one area of our life, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think a lot of people think, you know, grief comes with death and it has to be, you know, a living being dying. But grief is so much more than that. So I like to think about grief as an energy. And if we take a few steps back, like as human beings, we are wired to attach. We are wired to attach to people, places, things, and ideas. And when that attachment changes, that's when grief occurs. So the grief is really an energy that is created when that attachment changes. And then that grief can manifest as, you know, any feeling. It can manifest as physical experiences in our body, can manifest as like a spiritual experience, and really like affect our cognitive and like mental capacity too. But that change in attachment, going back to it, like we can be attached to places. So like leaving places, having to leave places, moving across the country, that can be associated with grief. It can create that energy. We can be attached to things that we never had, right? Like, you know, you have a vision of what your life is going to look like. And then when, you know, pieces don't fall into place, or the love of your life dies, right? You're going to grieve that vision that you had for your life. Or maybe it was someone that, you know, you're estranged from a family member and you always had a hope that you would, you know, be able to have a relationship with that person. When you don't get it, you also grieve that too. So there's death-related loss. There is non-death-related loss. There's also this thing called ambiguous loss, which is like, I can't quite name it, or, you know, it's not tangible. So maybe like the ideas are more so like the ambiguous loss, but all of those losses can create grief. And then grief itself is a very unique experience to anyone and is dependent on a wild number of factors, so that it inevitably becomes like very unique for every person.
I've never thought about grief in the context of around something that I've never had.
Yeah.
The longing for something that never has shown up in my life. And then again, the idea around grief around relationship loss. I've talked to parents where they had wishes and hopes for their children, and now they're estranged from their children. They don't even talk to their kids anymore. And just that sadness, that deep ache inside, that you want to go back to when things were great and the kids were little and, you know, they snuggled with you on the couch and now they don't even return your call. And you're like, you had a dream that was taken
away,
and you just feel that grief. So I'm hearing this from so many people that they're wrestling with this, but I don't think they've identified it the way you're describing it. So we need more of this. So keep talking, keep going.
Yeah, it's grief. It's grief. There's also, you know, there's anticipatory grief. You know, when you know you are actively losing something, you know, whether that's like watching a parent, you know, die of old age and illness, or, you know, walking someone through like a terminal illness, or just like knowing that you're going to, you know, one day your nest will be empty, watching your children grow. Like you can have anticipatory grief about that. Wow. So I think just recognizing like the lens that you can apply is that, you know, is this something that I am attached to? And is that attachment changing? And if the answer to those questions is yes, then you are probably experiencing grief. And, you know, grief isn't always a feeling. Like for me, it is a feeling. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's sadness, sometimes it's longing or yearning. But grief can also manifest as like physical symptoms. Maybe it's a stomach ache or a headache or body aches, or just like this overwhelming and constant fatigue, or it's like an anxious energy. Like I can't sit still. I can't sit down because like, I don't know what's going to happen if I sit down. So it's, you know, trying to kind of keep your energy high. Like that can be a physical manifestation of grief. And then, you know, mentally you can have like brain fog, you know, maybe the exhaustion piece plays in, or, you know, I used to be able to remember things and now I am so scatterbrained, or I can't concentrate. Those are also manifestations of grief. Or bigger questions that you're having about life, like, oh, like existentially, I am alone. Like I have always been alone. I thought, you know, I was attached to all these things, but ultimately, like I am alone in this world. Or questioning, you know, what the rules of life are, or the assumptions that you had about what the world was supposed to be. Or, you know, further to that, spiritual questions about like, what happens when I die? What happens when other people die? Do I believe in a higher power? Do I not believe in a higher power? And all of that is grief.
What I like by hearing you talk about this, Allie, is that you help people on their grief journey. And I think my perception of that, of your clientele, would be people who have lost a significant person in their life. That's who you work with. But as you talk, I'm seeing that this is an expanded beyond that certain group of people to people who have experienced things that we're talking about, this other form of grief, where, like for me, for example, I had a new job. I live in Niagara. I worked in Toronto. So it's like a 2-hour drive roughly to get to work every day. Super happy about this job. 4 months into the job, everyone at this big, large retail company, let's put it that way, were herded onto buses, shipped to an offsite location with no explanation, walked up to a desk and they read out, you told them your name and you went to the left or to the right. The people who went to the left went to a big breakfast and big meeting, and the people who went to the right sat in a tiny room by themselves with a glass of water, alone, going, what is going on right now? Like, what's happening? And then to have somebody from HR walk in and say, you're done. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? And getting back on a bus, being paraded through the people who are staying, the people that were leaving were paraded past everybody onto buses to go back to your office and your contents of your desk are in a box. And that ride on the bus back, I was the one that was going back, by the way, 4 months into a new job. I was on the bus with people who had given 20, 30 years of their life to this company. They're crying, bawling. They're calling their wives, pull the kids out of daycare. We can't afford it. And the overwhelming sense of grief, now that I listen to you, it's beyond, it's a totally different context. But that was the most upsetting and horrifying bus trips I've ever had, to watch people melt down around me. For me, I was only there 4 months, so I didn't really have the connection. And when you say that broken relationship bond, that's what I was experiencing in that moment. I didn't really put it together until hearing you talk.
Yeah.
And my initial, I was almost relieved because I didn't like the environment of where I was working, but I needed the job. So part of me was relieved that I was let go. But at the other point, I'm just like so numb and such a fog that I didn't know that I was experiencing grief in the moment. I just was losing my job. So hearing you, now I'm replaying the entire thing in my mind going, even though they offered us help in the right. moment, it was a bunch of suits that I didn't know. And I didn't feel comfortable talking to them. Mm-hmm. I'd feel comfortable talking to you.
Yeah.
Because there's a bond and you are putting something out in the world to help people. So
yeah,
I just want you to know that that was not my intent for this conversation by any means, but
yeah,
I just think that we have a very narrow definition of grief. And I think that we're missing an opportunity to get help from an expert like you who can walk us through and give us some ways of processing it and moving through this that I don't think I anticipated needing. So sorry, but I'm kind of flipping this around on you now.
And no,
we're
Dave,
kind of working us through this. So
can we go?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So let's I've got some.
I see you writing. So this is good. I like this.
Grief literacy chapter of the podcast.
Okay.
But the story that you're telling me, you know, so first thing I'll say that, you know, one loss often starts a domino effect of multiple losses.
Ooh.
Right. So for you, you know, you're saying, you know, I was only in this job for 4 months. You know, I wasn't as attached to the people who like have been in this role for or given 20 years of their life to this company.
Yeah.
The people who have given 20 years to that company, like, there are a number of things that rely on that relationship for their life to exist in the way it existed at that time, right? So you talk about this person losing their job and then, you know, they're calling their partner and saying, take the kids out of daycare. We can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that because of that job loss, like they can't afford their car payments. They can't afford rent.
Yeah.
They have friends that they're going to lose because they don't see them every day. Their daily commute is going to change. And maybe, you know, there was things that they appreciated doing or being well on that commute. So it really starts this like web of loss. And, you know, we could talk about like, if it's one person, that web is the same thing, right? Also, you said that you felt relief. And I think what I really want to hammer home in my work about grief is that grief can manifest as any feeling. Any feeling on the feeling wheel is valid in grief. Relief can be one of those feelings. And I think a lot of people get caught up sometimes because they're like, oh, I feel guilty that I'm relieved that this person died. Yeah. But sometimes if you are that person's caregiver and they have, you know, an illness that they are suffering from or that you caregiving for them, like consumed your whole life, it is okay to be relieved when they die. Like your feelings do not hurt anyone. And one of the worst things that you can do is deny yourself those feelings, right? Because they're just going to bubble up and come out somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself permission to feel whatever it is that you're feeling without judgment. You don't have to share it with anyone. I mean, you could share it with me if we're working together. It's a confidential space, totally fine to feel relief with me. But don't deny yourself those feelings and don't feel guilty if the feelings aren't the feelings that you would typically expect when you think of grief.
Yeah.
The next thing and last thing from what you talked about is that talking or experiencing grief from one loss can bring up the feelings and ideas and experiences that have come with other losses in your past. So this is just a little example of like, you know, we started talking about will, death, and then the subject of grief. And now you're thinking about, you know, this job that you lost in the past. For someone who, you know, experiences the death of someone who's like less close to them, but all they're like overwhelmed with grief, it might be because there are other losses that have happened in their life that haven't gotten the attention that they want.
Interesting.
That those losses needed from that person. So it's not uncommon for someone to like come through my doors and be like, you know, this person died. I'm like here for help. And then we start mining their history and they're like, oh, you've experienced all these other losses too. And they're compiling up and that's called compounded grief.
See, and that's why you're here talking to me. I love this. The other thing is, I guess I noticed in that process of that job change, is a loss of identity and embarrassment in that I wasn't, for whatever reason, I wasn't the person they needed. And they could have easily gotten rid of me in the first 3 months and not have to do this, but they had to, you know, pay me out, all that stuff. But just a loss of identity. That was my thing. Yes. And then for the people that have been 20, 30 years with the company, that was all they talked about to their social yeah. circles, to their friends. That was their identity. I'm this person with this job title, and this is yep. my identity. Everything I am is wrapped up into my role. And now my role's gone. So who am I?
Yes.
And in our relationships as well, if you yep. wrap all of your life around that person and you only identify as that person's partner or parent or child, and you don't even know who you are as mm-hmm. a person, you lose, you don't know who you are anymore because they're not here. So yeah. now what do I do? And that numbness of, you know, that ripping off the Band-Aid in that moment of, you know, well, you were employed, you're not employed. You had a relationship, you don't have a relationship. You had a parent, you don't have a parent. In that moment, there's just this numbness. And everything turns into that Charlie Brown teacher, where everybody's yeah. talking to you, but you don't comprehend what people are saying because you've just checked out. And I don't know if that's like yeah. a defense mechanism to kind of deal
it's
with
protective.
Her. Yeah. Can you
it's
talk
protective.
About that?
It's protective. It's your that numbness, yeah, or the shutting down, or you know, your brain just kind of tuning everyone out. Like that's a protective factor for your body. That's a signal that like what you are being handed right now is too much. And I mean, my best strategy, if you're not going to work with, you know, a professional, if you are experiencing like multiple losses, would be like create safe spaces for you to be able to kind of do like micro dosing of what it is you're feeling. And it's okay if that's not like instantaneous, right? Like if it takes a few weeks for you to kind of like for the shock or the numbness to kind of melt a little bit, then start kind of micro dosing on like the feeling experience that you're having or the paying attention to the physical sensations that you're experiencing or giving some space to the thoughts that you're having about what you've experienced. Because we don't want to deny, like we don't want to overload anyone. But when we carry too heavy of a load for too long, that's when we start seeing trauma symptoms, particularly related to grief. Because we don't want to avoid grief completely. Like it is a very human experience. And I really want to drive this message home for people who are listening. Grief is normal. Grief is the other side of attachment, and attachment is what we are supposed to do as humans. And we make more attachments by being able to grieve those attachments and then continue to move forward. So holding a lot is very normal. Not letting yourself grieve is not normal. So do what you can to give yourself little, even just little pockets of moments to validate what it is you are experiencing and let yourself have your own unique grief experience, because ultimately you'll be more resilient on the other side.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of people who serve us as first responders. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with stuff that you and I don't see every day. And they see yeah. it daily, multiple times during a day. And they go home and try to process what they just experienced as a paramedic or fireman or police officer. And that's where I think a lot of people fall into problems as well, as they don't know how to process this, how to deal with the feelings they're feeling and what they've experienced. And then they just put it somewhere. And it's going to show up somewhere in the future if you don't deal with these things, right?
Yeah, no, raises a really great point, Dave, that the, you know, not necessarily speaking to like the terrible things that, you know, first responders experience, but just going back and looking at, you know, childhood and what parents do to kind of protect their kids from death or grief in those early days, like, oh, I don't want to take them to the funeral because I don't want them to see a dead body. Yeah. I have friends in my community who like didn't lose someone until Will died. And then it was like a completely shocking experience for them. It was shocking to me, but like I'd been to funerals earlier in my life. I'd seen dead bodies. Like that exposure in my childhood, when you allow your kids to you know, have their own grieving process, recognize that it is very human. You're building a resilience toolkit for them to be able to face hard, challenging things later in life. And I think culturally, you know, I'll be 35 in January. You know, I was kind of raised in a generation of like, you know, the bubble parenting started. And there are peers around me whose parents, you know, wanted to protect them as kids. Like, we don't want to see them have to endure hard things. But kind of letting children have the experience as kids with hard stuff helps them build their own resilience toolkit, teaches them how to regulate their emotions in a safe space, right? With they have parents who are willing to stand next to them being like, what you're feeling is okay. What you're feeling is normal. It is okay to have uncomfortable feelings. It is okay to be angry. It is okay to be sad. It is okay to be relieved. Like, having someone saying that and giving them permission to experience it ultimately sets them up to be able to handle hard things in adulthood.
Wow. So that's perfect for this audience, for Dad Space, because as parents, we want to make sure that we're building up that toolkit. I love how you word that, because to shelter our children and never let them experience what life is and end of life is.
Yeah.
I think that doesn't set them up for success in the future. If we don't even talk about it, it's a taboo subject. We don't speak about it. You know, what happened to so-and-so? I don't want to talk about it. It's like children just make up their own conclusions then.
And often like what a child's imagination, even our adult imaginations, are typically far worse than when we are actually given the facts or being able to witness it like in person. You make a good point about like in childhood, like, you know, it doesn't have to be the death of a person. Like, it can be the death of an animal. Like, you know, the cat didn't get sent to the farm. No, the cat died.
Yeah.
Right. And when we have those conversations about death and dying with kids, there's less fear in adulthood, but they also become better grief allies, which is like, you know, a gap that I needed to fill after Will died, right? Noticing that, you know, I have very emotionally illiterate friends. They did their best, but they still made mistakes. And they were worried about like, you know, am I going to screw this up? They kept showing up despite that, which is why I wrote the book. And I'm like, people need to learn from my experience. Mm-hmm. But there are multiple generations of people who are like not introduced to the concept of grief, loss, death, and dying at a young age. And we've kind of bred this culture-wide suppression of what it means to be human. Right. Particularly in a capitalist world where it's like, keep your head down, keep working. You're going to work. You're going to live forever. And that's not the truth.
Right.
Right. And I think acknowledging that not everything lasts forever. As humans, we do die one day. We have a better understanding of what it means to actually be alive and what it means to have a meaningful life that you can live. So that when you inevitably do die, because everyone does, that you're not going to look back and be like, oh, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had been this person, or I wish I had this relationship. You appreciate life more when you acknowledge death at the same time.
Well, how do we work through unresolved grief? How do we, where do we even start? Because I think when we talk about all these small, I say small, but these different opportunities, things have happened in our lifetime that have brought grief across our path and we haven't dealt with them, how they compound, as you talk about, into a larger event, or they kind of manifest somewhere else.
Yeah.
We have to kind of deal with this unresolved grief. Where do we, working with you, obviously, is going to be one way to start. Has it been the best way?
That is one way to start.
Buying the book is another way to start. But where do we start? How do we do this?
I'd say step one is awareness.
Okay.
Or step one is reflection. You don't need to do anything. You just need to kind of be aware as you're walking through life, like, and something bubbles up for you being like, oh, okay. Okay. Maybe I didn't give that enough attention. when it happened and jot it down. Don't have to judge yourself for not giving it the attention. You probably did the best you could with the resources that you had at the time. There's no blame in that by any means. And then the second step I would say is to like find a trusted person, place, thing to start kind of sharing about it, whether that's a therapist, whether that's, you know, a friend, whether that's a journal, whether that's an audio note, or, you know, just space in your life where you can be doing something with your hands and thinking about it. You know, we're not all verbal processors. You don't always have to talk about your feelings. It could be a physical expression of like, oh, I'm angry about this. I'm going to run, or, you know, I am going to build something with a hammer and nails because it feels good. Like, just find a way to kind of get what it is that you are feeling on the inside out at a basic level. Those would be steps one and two that I would recommend. And if it is, if you are finding that like there's, it's too much for you to do, I would say like find a professional to work with. Find a grief literate therapist. I am available. But there are also plenty of other great professionals who can just give you, you know, a safe and trusted space to express what you haven't had the chance to express yet.
And that's kind of my thought as we talk, Ali, is I think that we need to expand the perception that what you do is you help people who have lost somebody. And that's the bucket I put you in, and you're on the shelf and you're over here. And I'm dealing with grief of a lost job, and I don't see the connection between what I'm experiencing, which doesn't relate to somebody leaving this world, and me dealing with that. I'm dealing with something different in my mind than what you help people to do. So I would naturally think that you could help me in my job loss and this numbness and this broken relationship that I have, not realizing that your book and what you do directly impacts a job loss, the loss of a child, the loss of a relationship, all the things we've talked about. So what I'm saying to the people listening is expand your idea of how Ali can help you beyond one specific situation. It's bigger than that, and that Ali can help you in more ways than you've anticipated coming to this episode. That unresolved job loss grief feels temporary and feels painful in the moment, but we just kind of put it on the shelf like that happened and I move on. But we haven't talked about it. Like me, I haven't talked about it very much to my wife. That's about it, because there's embarrassment in there that, again, I wasn't enough to be kept. So I was expendable in that moment. So, you know, I'm kind of working through and talking to you as well. So it's kind of turned into a therapy thing for myself. But I want people to understand that what you do and who you serve is beyond what I would anticipate being just people who have lost somebody. It's bigger than that. And I think more people need to talk to you and expand what you do and help more people beyond what I would anticipate is one specific area that you work with. So I want more people to talk to you. That's all. I want more people to come buy your book, support you, hire you. I want more people to come into your world. That's my goal.
Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, you bring up the book, and I would love to highlight too that, you know, I recognize that there is a cost to working with a therapist. Like, I will not deny that. But if you are someone who is, you know, recognizing that there is someone in your life that needs space to process their grief, or you are someone that needs to process your grief and you need someone in your life to be that kind of safe space for you, my book Grief Ally will give you those tools, right? Like, Grief Ally is meant for someone to be a guide, for a support person, not the person at the epicenter of the tragedy. I think people at the epicenter of tragedy and loss have enough to deal with. They don't have to be the teacher for the people around them to be like, hey, this is how I need you to show up. That's what the book is for, you know, and it teaches people really important skills that if you are supporting someone who is experiencing grief, the best thing you can do is don't try and fix it. If anybody's, you know, people who are listening out there, like, use that as your take home today. Like, I told you what grief is, and now I'm telling you, you can't fix it. So don't try. The best thing that you can do is sit next to someone, walk next to someone, and just say like, hey, I'm here if you want to talk about this. I'm not going to fix it for you. Hopefully being able to express it is like going to make this easier for you to carry and ultimately a little more comfortable because you're not carrying it alone.
So we could be that weighted blanket for those in going through grief, right?
Yes. 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 The human weighted blanket. And then also like protect that space too, right? Like don't share what someone is sharing with you. Like be like a confidant. If they are sharing something with you, it means they trust you.
Yeah.
And don't put that trust in jeopardy.
Yeah. Unless you have a podcast, then you can do it live.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then everybody gets to hear what you're
saying. And
thinking.
Then, there you go. Public domain now.
Yep. There we go. It's out there. Allie, again, I could talk to you for days. Before we go, let's get your information out there to the world. And I have one more question for you at the end. But as far as how to connect with you, where to buy the book, how to work with you, and maybe where you are on social media, where we can follow along. And then I have a question.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the book again is called Grief Ally, Helping People You Love Cope with Death, Loss, and Grief. And you can find it at all the major book retailers, Amazon, Indigo, Chapters, Barnes and Noble, and your local bookstore can order it for you. You can find me and how to work with me on my website, alliebird.com. Ally is spelled A-L-Y, bird like bird. And you can find me on social media at The Ally Bird.
There you go. And when you buy the book, please leave an amazing, awesome, outstanding review that doesn't say, great book, good author. No, let's do a little bit more. Let's let people know what's in this book. And I'd encourage everybody to do that. So one of the questions I'm wrestling with right now, and I've been asking it to some of my guests, and I wanted to get your perspective. What do you hope, Ally, that people say about you when you leave the room? You're not there. What do you want them to say about you?
Oof. A tough one, Dave. I've tried really hard to like disassociate myself from what other people think of me. But I hope they recognize how passionate I am about this work and that the time that they spent with me was worthy of their time. That's what I hope.
Well, that's what I would say about you. So you already have one person that believes that and believes it to be right. True. For me, how I'm wrestling with it, I want people to say about me that Dave was a collector of people. That making connections, real connections with people, to have time with you, for example, and also to connect others with each other. That maybe you haven't met so-and-so and they haven't met you, that I can do that in the background and build bridges with people that would never cross paths. That's what I would love to do, is to be that for people. So that I just collect people. That's what I do.
I think you're doing a great job.
So I'm glad to add you to my collection. So
yes, Ally, I'm happy to be here.
It's amazing. And I do have people that I want to introduce you to that I think need you in their life. So I'll be working behind the scenes to make that happen. So
awesome. Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Everyone, go check out the show notes, and as well, go check out the episode 260, Living the Next Chapter, where you get to hear more from one amazing person and her story. And you've helped me immensely, Ally. Appreciate it. Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here, for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, I think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, or if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.